Now, let us go to the word of the Lord. The Lord has given us a word. Like I said, we could have shouted all day. I've been satisfied. I don't have to say anything. But God has given us a word. It's in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We don't go to Colossians that often, but Colossians is a good place to be. I love the book and what it begins to tell us. Colossians chapter 2 in the New Testament. Right after Philippians. Amen. And right before 1 Thessalonians. Colossians. Chapter 2. I'll begin reading for you with verse 4. And it reads, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." I remember Bishop Golder teaching Bible class in just that 10th verse, "And ye are complete in him." Our subject this morning comes from a song that was written, I believe, back in 1970. It just says, "Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion." The song says it was good enough, they said, for the Hebrew children. I'm going to let you know it was good enough for the apostles, and it's good enough for me. The definition of religion by many seems to be controversial. However, in its simplest form, it is the system of belief, faith in God, in which you worship. When we speak of old time, now we are referencing things belonging to or characterized by former time, relating to the past, things that occurred long ago. In fact, some people would also call these methods, ideas, or things in general as old-fashioned. And they say it in a way that it's admired. Old pictures and paintings are admired as works of art. Old coins and stamps considered collectibles. Old furniture called antiques. Each of these things are highly desirable and considered extremely valuable. However, when it comes to procedures, systems, and methods, when people hear the term old associated with these styles and systems, mankind has no interest or thought for these previously established techniques from the past. The remarks and comments you hear are, "That method is outdated. It's not practical for the current times." They say it's obsolete. That system is antiquated. It's ancient. A perfect example of our computer software is our computer software. The first version of Microsoft Office was released in 1985. Word, one of those items, was released in 1983. Since its release, improvements were incorporated year after year. Microsoft now boasts over 1.5 billion users worldwide, which makes Microsoft the dominant Office software package. These products include Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, Excel, Access, OneNote, and Outlook. These applications empower businesses, users, students, home users to experience a boost in productivity and the ability to get more done in the most efficient way possible on their computers. It's even available for PC and for Mac users. However, one thing needs to be taken into consideration. Don't just buy the latest and greatest according to what man tells you. Just because your neighbor bought it, or just because friends have it. Because with each new version or edition designed to make your work easier and more professional, not all of the versions have the same capability of running on your machine. Further, they don't have the exact same apps that you are accustomed to and capabilities you require. So you will have to take a close look to determine which version is right for you and for your machine. So it is the same with our belief in God, our worship, our religion. We need to take a close look to determine what God requires, not what man has so-called improved, to make it more efficient, to make it more convenient for man, because the new version may not be compatible. In our text, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Colossae. Colossae was a cosmopolitan city. Everything that you needed or wanted was there. It was situated on the major trade route between Ephesus and the Euphrates River. Paul did not necessarily establish the church physically. However, those that heard the word and were saved during Paul's ministry in Ephesus established the church. When we go to Acts, the 19th chapter, Paul is passing through the upper coast, and he comes to Ephesus finding certain disciples. Scripture said he asked them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe?" They responded, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Yeah. Paul now has to find out more about their belief, their faith, their religion. So Paul asked, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they responded, "Unto John's baptism." Then Paul explains to them, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." The scripture says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's in Acts chapter 19, verse 5. Verse 6 then tells us, "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." The word recorded allows us to know that the men saved at this time were about 12. Paul goes on into the synagogue and spake boldly, scripture says, for some 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Some of the people had closed their mind. They didn't want to listen to Paul. They refused to believe Paul and publicly slandered, speaking evil of that way, of that version, of that edition. Here, as a result, Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and continued his daily interactions with them in the hall, lecture hall of one named Tyrannus. Scripture tells us that this went on for some 2 years. While Paul is there in Ephesus teaching and preaching for some 2 years, scripture says, "So that everyone living in the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord." And this is how the church in Colossae got their start. They were there and they heard the word of the Lord and was saved and went back home and started the church. Further, it is recorded that God was doing unusual miracles through Paul. He's used doing unusual things to us today. Anytime you know that we've been outdoors for over 8 months and God has blessed us to have good weather, during those times he's done some unusual things. And it's not us, it's the God that lives in us. Here he begins to let us know that God had wrought some unusual miracles through Paul. Even Scripture says the small towels and aprons that had touched Paul's skin, they were taken to the sick and their diseases were cured and the evil spirits left them. The word was getting around about Paul. The word was getting around about the one that he had talked about by the name of Jesus. All of this is getting around until Scripture records that there were seven sons of one by the name of Sceva. The Bible lets us know that these boys had heard about the spirits and the demons being dismissed by Paul by just calling on the name of Jesus. But I want you to realize, in order to have the authority to use the name, you got to bear the name. In order to have the authority of God to do the work, you have got to take on the name of Jesus. So the Scripture began to say they tried to use the power of the name of the Lord Jesus against some that had evil spirits. The Bible begins to let us know in that 19th chapter that when they began to find one that had an evil spirit, they began to say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you. Here, the Bible responds and lets us know that the evil spirit responds to them. And it said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are ye? In other words, even the devil knows somebody that's been acquainted with Jesus. The devil knows who's got the power. The devil knows who's able to cast him out and who is just an amateur and does not have the authority of the power of God. So here it is. They tried to use something that they weren't really acquainted with, something that they didn't really believe in, but they wanted to try it out to see. So many people, hallelujah, today are just trying things that they don't know anything about. But now it's time, it's high time to be able to find out about Jesus and to get the authority for yourself so that when you pray, things begin to happen. So that when you push your plate back, God begins to answer. So when did you get on your knees? Hallelujah, God responds to you. Hallelujah, because the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man avail it much. You can't expect God to do anything for you when you're doing anything and everything. But here, the Bible lets us know that these boys, as they were calling on the name of Jesus, something began to happen. The Bible said that the man that had the evil spirit, hallelujah, that the spirit leaped upon them and overcame them. It beat them and whipped them until they left out of there naked and wounded. Scripture said that this got noise abroad. In other words, everybody heard what had happened to these boys, these seven sons of Sceva. You know, news travels fast. We're living in Springfield and we know how fast news travels. But you can imagine how the news traveled here in Ephesus. The Bible said everybody heard about it. Not only so much as they heard about it, but fear fell on them. All of them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. You knew, you got to realize that God does some things so that his name can be magnified, so that he can get the glory. The Lord has us outside having service so that he can get the glory. The Lord has blessed the Sundays and the weather so that he could get the glory. The God has touched your body when you've been sick so that he can get the glory. When you needed finances and situations, all you had to do was call on the name of the Lord so that he can get the glory. When issues happened and deer might have run in front of your car, you didn't have time to respond, but all you could do is just say, Jesus, and the Lord allowed you not to hit that animal so that he could get the glory. Somebody ought to praise the name of God, because he's worthy of the praise. The Bible says that many of them at that time,
who had practiced curious arts, brought their books together and they burned them before all men. They even so much began to just want to be safe. The church grew. Everything is going well. Hallelujah. But see, when you do good, evil is always present. Paul leaves them at this time. The church is established there. The church is established in Laodicea and all the towns around them. But Paul has an eye, a need to be in to write unto them this letter in Colossians. And as he writes to the church years later, he writes to them because they are under attack. Whether you realize it or not, we are under attack. And the attack that they were going under this time was those that have crept into the church at Colossae with a new philosophy. They had a higher thought. You know, some people think they know more than you know. Hallelujah. There's people that had a new way of thinking. And as they come with this new way of thinking, they suggest that there's a way that we need to worship that y'all hadn't been worshiping before. We need to call on the spirit realm, and there's spirits and things that we need to talk about. We need to get the ball out and begin to look through this mystical ball. We need to get the Ouija board out. We need to do this and we need to do that because there's intermediaries that we need to consult. They didn't come up with a new idea, a new way of thinking, but Paul began to let the church know, don't worry about what people are trying to do to confuse you. He began to let them know in the first chapter, in the ninth verse, and he said, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard, when I heard about it, I had to start praying. He said, do not cease to pray for you. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He goes on to say that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He ends to say, hallelujah, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joy for this. Paul is praying for them. He's asking God to establish and strengthen them. Hallelujah. I'm praying for you all that God will strengthen and establish you in his word. Hallelujah. Paul goes on to say, who have delivered us from the power of darkness. We no longer in darkness anymore because we have been delivered. He said, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. He goes on to get into the chapter 2 where we're at. And he makes it plain. He said, I want you to understand, lest any man should try to beguile you. Anybody try to confuse you. Any try to stir you up and bring you a new edition. Bring you a new version. Bring you something that you hadn't heard before. Because they done thought it up in their mind. In their sick heart, they done got this thing together. And they're trying to disturb you. Hallelujah. But don't be dismayed. He said, though I be absent from you, I'm yet with you in spirit. But I want you to know, hallelujah, that you got to be steadfast in your faith in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, child of God. Hallelujah. But when you're not here and we're not gathered together, I'm praying that we all be on one accord with Christ. That we be steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the word. Hallelujah. He says, therefore, have you received Christ? So walk ye in it. How you got saved, walk in it. How God blessed you, walk in that way. How God delivered you, walk in that way. Hallelujah. Don't worry about what somebody trying to bring you new. He said, you got to be rooted and built up in him. Established in faith, as you've been taught, abounding there with thanksgiving, and beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of man and the rudiments of the world. For in him dwelleth, hallelujah, the fullness of Godhead bodily. When you call on Jesus, you see the Son. When you call on Jesus, you see, hallelujah, God manifest in the flesh. When you call on Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit, because the fullness of the Godhead bodily resides in the one, Jesus Christ. He began to say, and ye are complete in him. You don't need anything else, because you are complete in Jesus. You don't need anything else. All you need is Jesus. And that's why Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus and him crucified. I don't want to know about your gossip. I don't know about what happened on the job. I don't want to know what's going on here in the community. All I want to know that my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I'm not worried about what new thought and new idea somebody's got to try to make things convenient for you. Somebody's trying to make things efficient. But I know how I got saved. I know how I got delivered. And all I want is that good old time religion. It was good enough for Peter, James, and John. It was good enough for Paul, and it's good enough for me. In that old time religion, you were baptized, meaning immersed in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you received the gift of the Holy Ghost with evidence in speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. We live in a time now where folk trying to make it convenient, so they come up with a new idea rather than worried about getting a whole bunch of water where we baptize or immerse you. Hey, I got an idea. We'll just sprinkle you. Hush! Shut up! Get that out of here! I don't want to be sprinkled, hallelujah, because I know that I need to be buried in the name of Jesus. I need the stuff washed off of me, and sprinkling is not going to wash me. They say, well, you don't even have to do that. All you got to do is shake the preacher's hand. I have not read anywhere in the book where shaking the preacher's hand was going to save and deliver me. They said, well, we live in a new technological age, a new computerized age. And if you ain't even got time to come to the church, all you got to do is just in your home, in your car, wherever you are, just say the sinner's prayer. The Lord, I take you in my heart. You're mine. And this, hush! You want to know why people are living so bad. You want to know how the world is in such a bad condition. So many new versions, so many new addition, so many new ideas have come to pass that the people don't have the power. But hallelujah, the Bible says that after the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall have power. The people of God, you got power when you get the old time religion. Hallelujah, you'll see signs and wonders performed. You'll see the reins held up because you've got power with God. Hallelujah, you want to know why folks are having issues and why people are having problems? They don't have no power with God because they don't have good old time religion. Hallelujah. Get it. Hallelujah. It's for you. It's free. Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. And you know, people that say, well, I'll get baptized in Jesus' name, but they're tarrying. Hallelujah. What's wrong with waiting? What did we talk about the other night? It says tribulation brings about patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope, and hope make it not ashamed. What's wrong with waiting for a while till God comes in? Well, if you can't wait on God, hallelujah, then you'll do something. You'll do something you're not supposed to do. God's trying to teach you. You gotta wait. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings. Run, not be weary. Walk and not faint. You want to be able to hold on? Get good old time Holy Ghost. Good old time baptism in Jesus' name. That's what it's all about. And let me explain something so we can get it. We got to get it explained to us. Can I make it plain? We got to get it explained to us. People want to say, well, baptism has changed. It was supposed to have been
repeating the formula in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost rather than in Jesus' name. Peter got it wrong.
Hush!
Don't you know that Matthew's gospel was not written to many years after the day of Pentecost? So everybody that Peter and all the apostles baptized, they baptized in the name of Jesus. Paul, as you record here in Acts, as it recorded, he baptized those 12 that he found on the upper coast in the name of Jesus. So here, now that Matthew writes his gospel, years, many years later, he's one of the apostles. He knew who Jesus was. So when he writes in the name of, he knows who it is. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. It's all in Jesus. What did Paul just say? In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Lord our God is one Lord. He's not three. He's not two. He's not 50. He is one. I often give you the analogy, and if you see it Friday night, you'll see it again. Water. We know the elemental formula is H2O. Two hydrogen and one oxygen. H2O. As a liquid, we know it as water. Frozen, we know it as ice. If you put it on a kettle, set it on high, reaches 212 Fahrenheit, it's going to boil and become steam or vapor. But it's all still H2O. It just exists in three forms. Our God is one. Hallelujah. John tells you in St. John chapter 1, we beheld him as of the only begotten of the Father. We saw him in flesh and blood as a son. Paul tells Timothy that he was man of flesh in the flesh. Without controversy. He said, ain't no confusion about this. The saints know. If you got the Holy Ghost, you know. It's one in the same. I often give you the analogy of Superman. Clark Kent. Superman, that's in the world man's made up. Lois Lane just falls crazy over Superman, not realizing that the reporter there, the next desk to her, Clark Kent, is one and the same. All the difference is he's got that cape, done took his hat off, and his glasses. But she can't see the difference. That's the way it is today. The world looking at it in scripture, reading it over and over again, but still can't see that it's one and the same. But it's time now to say, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, let me see what I need, because I need that good old time religion, because I want to go to heaven with you. If I get something that don't work, then you're going to be left. But hallelujah, there's a song that begins to say, watch ye, therefore, you know not the day when the Lord shall call your souls away. But if ye labor striving for the right, you shall wear a golden crown. It goes on, another verse we added, said, lead me, Jesus, lead me all the way, lead me, Jesus, lest I go astray. Lead me, Jesus, in this holy way, because I shall wear a golden crown. How many up here wants to wear a crown today? When the trumpet sound, woo, hey, hey, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear the golden crown. It's something to think about. If you want to see Jesus, hallelujah. It goes on to say, soon as my feet strike Zion. Lord, I just begin to think about being in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But you got to have the right version. You got to have the right way. You got to do it according to God's will.
let his will be done. It's not for your convenience. It's not for my convenience. It's not for your efficiency, but it's so that God's will be performed. And God's got a way that you can't go over. God's got a way that you can't go under, but you've got to come through the door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Any man come to the Father's got to come by me. So the only way you're going to get there is come to Jesus. The same Jesus that was wounded for you, bruised for you. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we're healed. He is that lamb that you need. He was that one sacrifice that was able to take away all of our sins. When you begin to think about it, and that's why they say, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I challenge teenagers, children, adults, to get in the book and to find your way to salvation. Because it's getting late in the evening. The sun is going down. You got to work while it's day, because when night cometh, no man shall work. When the Lord calls us, if you're not ready, you're lost. I can't tell it any other way. But I don't want to go to heaven by myself, and I'm not going to heaven by myself, because there are others who love his appearing as well. But those, if you don't love it, if you don't want to wear a crown, then you're going to be here. Think about it. This is not the time to jump and shout. This is time to think. It's time to think. I am complete in him, is what Paul told the church in Colossians. He said, don't worry about what other folks are trying to disturb your mind, but you're complete in Jesus. If you want to be complete today, come to Jesus. If you won't be complete today, say, Lord, I want what you desire for me to have to be saved. I want to go home to glory with you. So whatever it takes, Lord, you show me what I need to do. Lord, you show me. Tell the Lord. God is faithful. He'll show you what you need to do. And when God tells you to be baptized in Jesus' name, don't say, well, I don't think I heard that. Yes, that's what you heard. That's what he told you. So ask. I'll never forget Pastor Cowles' testimony when she asked the Lord. She was sick. I told you before. This was many years ago, before she was saved. She was sick and she asked the Lord, Lord, if you heal my body, Aunt Rowena, Mother Patterson, had witnessed to her and told her, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. She got sick that night and she thought she wasn't going to make it. Her mother had died young and she thought she was on her way out. I wasn't even born yet. And she says, Lord, if you'll heal my body, I'll go down in your name. She went to bed that night not thinking that she's going to ever wake again, but she prayed and asked God. The next morning, she woke up refreshed, feeling good. That's why when I pray for you at different times, those of you who I pray for, I ask that Lord give you a good night's rest and do you wake refreshed. When she woke up that morning, she was refreshed, felt good, and the Lord spoke to her. Me, you said if I'd heal your body, you'd go down in my name. She said, yes, Lord, I did. She told my mother, like I said, this was before I was born, to take Etta Mae. Etta Mae was just a child, 1, 2 years old. Take her, she said, because I'm going to go to Jerusalem Temple and get baptized in Jesus' name. Bethel wasn't even here then. Greater Faith wasn't even here then. Jerusalem Temple
was on Children's Street. She said, I'm going to my mother.
Why are you going over there?
She said, because I told the Lord I would. I made him a promise. When you make God a promise, don't go back on your promise. When you tell God you're going to do something, don't go back on it. There are many people that are not here today because they went back on what they promised the Lord. She went to Jerusalem Temple, got baptized in Jesus' name on that Sunday. The following month, the Lord filled her with the Holy Ghost. See, everybody don't get the Holy Ghost coming up out of the water. Sometimes you have to tarry. Whatever you do to get it. Because you need it, because it's power. Because she made that move, God blessed her, called her into ministry. Bethel is here today. I'm saved today. We are saved today. Because somebody believed the word of the Lord. I want to wear a crown. I want to be saved. I got to do what God wants me to do. I can't worry about what somebody thinks, but I've got to say, that's why Peter says, save yourself from this untoward generation. You ask God, Lord, you show me what I need to do to be saved. And he'll show you. Lord, you tell me, he'll tell you. Lord Jesus, right now we thank you for these who are gathered here today, your word that has went forth. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for blessing the weather. But Lord, as we're here, Lord, we want you to save such as should be saved. Deliver such as should be delivered. Heal such as should be healed. Restore such as should be restored. Lord, bless your people. Bless spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, meet every need as they delight themselves in you. Give them the desires of their heart. Lord, right now, oh God, bless, Lord. Provide increase. Provide increase, Lord. Bless right now, oh God. Hallelujah. Save, Lord. Show them what they need to do to be saved. Lord, and for the saints that are saved, Lord, that they hold on to thee, oh God. Lord, and not be moved, hallelujah, by the tricks of man. Hallelujah. But hold it on, knowing that they are complete in you. As we come right now against the adversary, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. 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 We claim victory in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. Deliverance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What I say unto what? I say it unto all. Watch.